At 10 o'clock, they're happy. How is she dead 2 hours later?
When a San Diego police officer is found dead in her home, who investigates? Follow One of Their Own, a new podcast from KPBS, wherever you listen.
Every day, I'm reminded that we are making history, but in the worst way possible.
Sign painter and content creator Koi Sun has built an audience of more than 500,000 followers online. And his videos about art, community, and craftsmanship have reached millions of people. He puts a lot of thought and time into his videos. They feel genuine and intentional. And he knows that if he cares about something, other people probably do too.
Corporations and politicians have always tried to isolate us from one another under the guise of innovation. As cushy and generic as it sounds, being active in your neighborhood is an integral step to fighting against our oppressors, and that involves taking care of one another.
One of his recent videos breaks down the design and aesthetics of Zoran Mamdani's 2025 campaign to be mayor of New York. But it's also about something bigger. Why Koi does the work he does.
Zoran Mamdani's branding was inspired by hand-painted signs, so, of course, I had to paint his logotype myself. The philosophy behind Zoran's visual identity isn't too different from why I became a sign painter. I used to be a graphic designer, tired of the minimal aesthetic the world clung to. I yearned for texture, imperfections, vibrant colors, loud personalities, and the human touch. So I picked up a brush and started painting for local businesses. For me, being a sign painter means showing the world that there's power in hiring artists and doing things the slow, traditional way. As companies tried to kill the beauty of specialization by generalizing it with AI, seeing Zoran hire the talent designers at Forge and watching the world celebrate their work reminds me that humanity can still win. For the first time in a long while, I feel a small glimmer of hope.
This year marks America's 250th birthday. It's also been a year shaped by protest, and really the years and decades before it, too. Whether it's marching in the streets, advocating for our collective rights, or making art, protest and resistance have always been a part of the American story. But protests can also seem out of reach, even scary or intimidating. How do you speak up in a way that feels authentic? How do you build something instead of just reacting? We recently hosted a live podcast event at KPBS. The theme was the art of protest. Thank you, everyone, for being here. This is so great. Today on The Finest, we're bringing you that conversation with Koi, recorded in front of a live studio audience. It's a story of someone who has found his own path of meaning, intention, and resistance, his own way to protest. You'll hear how Koi became a sign painter and how the craft has changed in the United States as speed and efficiency became the norm, transforming not just the trade, but the way our streets, storefronts, and screens look. Koi makes the case for something different, that doing things by hand and creating space for human connection can be its own form of resistance. From KPBS Public Media, this is The Finest, a podcast about the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego. I'm Julia Dixon Evans.
Before a producer hits record or before a journalist picks up a pen, someone like you notices something and wants to understand it. Every day, we invite you to keep asking questions like why and who and how. Because NPR begins with questions, not conclusions. And your right to curiosity is a right worth protecting.
So thank you so much, Coy, for being here.
No, yeah, thank you. I mean... yeah.
So in recent years, you've taken your sign painting and your social media videos, and we'll get into the specifics of those later. But we like to start our episodes kind of in the middle of things with like a hook. So you've been using that work, your sign painting and your videos, as your own form of protest or activism. And my question is, can you remember a single moment when it dawned on you that you could do that, or how you could do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird to think of how, as my focus in my arts is sign painting, which is like a very traditional, relatively old, you know, like some people say dead or dying, you know, art discipline. And then my job as a social media content creator, which is very, very new. And in a lot of cases, I've had to find my own answers because the mentors and stuff to find these things, it is so new and it changes all the time. And I think I made that realization was from actually helping out my parents. And basically I made a video talking about how I painted for my parents' restaurant. It was just kind of like a throwaway thing, like, oh, let me just do it for fun. And what ended up happening was they were bombarded with customers forever, essentially. Like, I've had folks from Hong Kong or Texas or wherever saying, it's like, oh, we came all the way over here to eat. You know, we came to visit San Diego and eat at your parents' restaurant. Uh-huh. And just for context, like, you can imagine folks coming to San Diego and my parents are in a office park in Sereno Valley. As, you know, there's you can see the seals in La Jolla or... you know, Seaport Village. It is just like, let me just go to this concrete jungle because I saw someone on TikTok. And so it's one thing to make a video and see like a million views and, you know, thousands of comments and all these other things, but it doesn't really feel like anything. But to see my parents' restaurant literally have people like, oh, like people actually do watch my videos. It made me think about how I can use that not just like for fun things, but also just like, you know, support my local communities and things like that.
Did you have any like models or any people that were kind of paving the way, even if not necessarily in your platform?
There was a lot. I grew up watching a lot of YouTubers in the early 2000s. As much as I try to think about it, there's some folks that I could kind of console with in terms of like emotional turmoil that comes with being a, you know, successful content creator. But in terms of like making the decisions that I had to make in terms of being someone that cares, was something that really did feel like I was kind of on my own about.
Yeah. Okay. So take us back to the beginning. How did you get interested in sign painting?
I get asked that so many times and it's hard to really say. I think for the most part, it's just, I like the way that letters look and I like the tools of the trade in terms of using lettering quills and enamel paint and just the way of working directly with local businesses. But, you know, to put it simply, it is just, I like looking at letters and I like making them look cool.
Can you say more about what like the American traditional style of sign painting is? Like, what does it look like? What is it used for? What's a little bit of the history there?
Yeah, it's always so funny to explain because like, I feel like there's a lot of folks that have lived through signage while I'm trying to like pick up the pieces from the folks that I meet. But for the most part, sign painting existed when printers and stuff didn't. And so if you needed any type of storefront signage, if you needed a highway billboard or things like that, there would be painters, muralists to do those things. But as technology started becoming more introduced, like the vinyl plotter and stuff, the traditional ways of hand painting anything from billboards and stuff slowly died out in replacement of technology. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, say a little bit more about that, like the kind of evolution of everything becoming the same.
Yeah, from a sign painter somewhere around the Midwest told me the whole story, which is like he lived it. He remembered when the first vinyl plotter was introduced. And for those who don't know, a vinyl plotter is just this thing that a knife that automatically cuts out plastic stickers, and then you can slap them onto the wall, and then that's basically the type of signage that you've seen everywhere now. But the way that the sign painter told me, he's from Litterlux, he said sign painting was something that you had to train for. It was like an apprenticeship, similar to how tattooing is, where it takes years to learn, because you learn, it's not just about the painting aspect and the surface prep, but it's also learning about the how to do layouts, the anatomy of typography, and all these other things. And so when the vinyl plotter was introduced, it was like, oh, like learn how to make signs in a week or something. It was something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And so what ended up happening was that all that tradition of learning the design aspect of painting died out, and why signage kind of started becoming ugly, because everybody here was just trying to get like the quick, cheap method of like, oh, I want to make signs as fast as I can. It's a good business to get into. And so they skip over all of the rules and the graphic designs and things like that. And to even to the point now where the way that I was trained in graphic, even in the digital, is much different than how graphic design is taught in traditional colleges and things like that. That's how much sign painting has kind of been pushed to the side as a niche.
I mean, thinking about this transition from sign making by hand to digital, it reminds me of one of your more recent popular videos talking about making things with your hands, like this analog art form as a kind of protest. What does that mean to you?
In a lot of ways, the frustrations that I have with the way that I live and how I see things are now is, you know, the greatest currency that we have is time. And in a lot of ways, our governments and the way that we live, especially in America, we're so limited by it, whether it's like working 9 to 5, even if we're lucky to work 9 to 5, some people work even more than that. And the ability to learn and take your time is a privilege. And in a lot of ways, this, what started off as just like a simple vinyl cutter, transition to things like AI now, where it's just like, oh, we need things yesterday. Like, why do we need to hire an illustrator when we can just generate it, or things like that? And it's just, it's push artists in the, like this thing where it's like, do we work faster or do we, and I'm going on a tangent, but basically it's
no,
just,
I love it. Bring it. it's
with the videos and the importance of me showing people to working with their hands, it's just that there is beauty in the process, and that what makes art great is the process itself, not so much the outcome of whatever that is, which is like the music or the painting or the graphic design. And it shows, because the videos that when I write out my videos, I don't actually think about what cool painting I'm going to do. I think more about the concept than what I want to talk about, whether it's the process or the theory or any of those things. And with the success I have, it shows that people do care about even the most minimal things, as painting letters, if they kind of understand the story and like everything around it.
Okay, let's talk about like sign painting and this concept of efficiency or getting things done, like the fastest, cheapest way. How is sign painting, and even like zooming out to be all analog niche trades, like how are those different from this efficient or bland sameness that we're seeing?
In a lot of ways, I don't want anybody to misconstrue that I don't like minimalism or that I don't like things to be clean. It's more of that I feel like a lot of the choices that, you know, our leaders or like companies make in having things be clean isn't so much of an artistic or intentional choice, but more of just like a cheap, you know, exploitable choice. And with the current kind of me seeing the new young generation of artists coming in and what they're doing, they're interested in flyers that are scrapbooked, you know, kind of like those serial killer style letter cutouts. And then you cut out the letter. It's just, it's like, come join my party. You know, so
kidnapper sheep.
Yeah, exactly. Like crochet or any of those things. It's just like the younger generation is craving those things, and I see that excitement And I also completely forgot your question.
No, you got it. That was it. But I mean, like, why do you think that people like this? Like, not just in the process of making them, but why do you think that those people are drawn to this stuff on, like, an aesthetic level? Like, is it fundamentally about what it means to have been made by hand? Or is it also, does it look nice?
It does look nice. And I think it has a lot to do with, you know, any art movement is a contrast of whatever is prior. And in this case, because digital screens and stuff are so accessible, you know, you're basically born with an iPad at this point kind of thing. The novelty of being sent to like a handwritten letter or something. And I'm getting emotional because I'm sure seeing a lot of folks here who have gotten a lot of handwritten letters for a while. Or mixtapes, like actual like cassette mixtapes and things like that. You know, you send your birthday cards to email now, or like your gift cards are email, where it's just like, I want to give you like a Target gift card, but I can also just buy a gift card online and send an email and be like, oh, here's a QR code. Just like spend that. I think that is the, I forgot the tchotchke, I think is the word. Yeah. It's scrap. Yeah. I notice that with everyone. It's just like every young kid in a lot of ways is just, you know, collecting stuff and stickers and scrapbooking and all that. Yeah.
I love that. So back to a little bit more about your work. You make such great videos about your own process, your own challenges as an artist. And you also recently have started making videos that touch on like broader things, war, politics, oppression. How did you find your own way of doing this that felt authentic? And have there been challenges?
Yeah, I would say that the weirdest thing about the position that I'm in is that I get treated in a lot of ways with like, you know, being a celebrity in that like, you know, I get recognized a lot and I get invited to like red carpet, whatever thingies and all that. But in at the end of the day, like I don't have like a film crew or anything. I just set up a camera and then I record it and then I post it on Instagram and then I call it a day. And then I very much kind of navigate the world as relatively a normal person that I think I am. but with that, it's the pressure of me having a reach where I could make a video and millions of people can watch it and I can support businesses like my parents or like Libe Lula, the bookstore that I recently painted for. It felt like it was only right for me to speak up. And for a while I didn't really know how, because it was just in a sense, like I felt like I was an echo chamber where I was just repeating what everybody else was saying, like, look at this dramatic thing or like, look at this like news and all these other things. And it didn't really feel like I was doing that much. And it felt like I was kind of wearing my audience out, as sad as that sounds. And so I took a lot of inspiration from Miss Rachel, a creator who does a lot of like, you know, children's shows and things like that. And she found a way to touch on a lot of the same beliefs that I have, political beliefs and morals that I have, but in a way that focuses more on children, protecting children, and using that as kind of like a, the only word I can think of right now is Trojan horse, but it's not that. But she's like, this is about the children, but if you really look into it, there are a lot of things that I'm really mad about kind of thing. That's what I saw from Miss Rachel. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, let me try to do the same thing where, you know, recently learning about Palestine, things like that, I wanted to find my support. And for me, it was through, I met this person named Leanne who runs a music event group called Mazika here in San Diego. And I started painting for her and painting signs for her. I saw that Libe Lula was also pro-Palestine. And so I painted all their storefront windows for free and making videos about that. And it wasn't so much talking about like any political talking points. It was just like, hey, check out this, you know, Swana Muslim focused like music group. And they're so cool. But there's this underlying thing of like, fun music events, cute bookstore that is kind of like a way to like, you know, poke and prod at my audience being like, hey, like, I get it. Because the hardest part about being a content creator is that there's times when I've spoken up and my account has been attempted to be hacked, I've been threatened, and all these other things. Because again, I reach so many people. And this was just like my way of doing it, essentially, that maintains my safety, but also feels like that I'm helping my community locally. Because as much as I like want to change things and like on a government level, it feels a lot easier to support the folks that are in front of me, if that makes sense.
Coming up, why Coy believes slowing down can be a radical act. Stay with us.
Watch programs on your schedule with the KPBS Plus streaming service. See new episodes of Nature and Nova, latest news from PBS NewsHour and KPBS Evening Edition, local shows like Ken Kramer's About San Diego. Learn more at kpbs.org/kpbsplus.
Have you ever thought about what it is that you think people are drawn to about your content? What is it about the videos that you make that people connect with?
I should know this.
Why do people like you?
It's because I'm cool. I make cool tchotchkes. And
great answer. Okay, next. No, I'm just kidding.
Intention. I think I try my best to be genuine, and I try my best to be intentional with the videos that I make when I can be. And I don't, you know, assign myself to any specific trends. You know, I'm not doing TikTok dances unless, you know, I'm really good at them, I guess. There's something, not yet. But yeah, so I think the whole idea when I first started making videos was that I didn't want to be like anyone else, I guess, in a way, or like I didn't want to try to act like anyone else because I couldn't even if I tried to. And I think it just worked out in that way where I just created this community of people being like, the way that I put it, especially with anybody that's interested in making content, is that whatever, like nothing we think is original, and whatever we're frustrated about or angry about or what we're really passionate about, somebody else has to think it too. And if you make a video about it, no matter how niche you think it is, there's going to be like a whole community of people that you didn't know about. Because like before the sequel to the Avatar movie, the blue people, not the blue alien Avatar movie, for 10 or 20 years since, or 10 years since that, whatever the movie was made, there was a whole community of people that would meet in New York that would just fan out about this movie that's been around for a while. So it's like, if that exists, I also found a group of sign spinners. You know those guys that like spin signs on the sidewalk? Mm-hmm. There's like a whole community of people that like talk and like, you know, think about the train to be sign spinners. So it's just like, the sky's the limit in terms of how weird or niche you can be. And that's why people like me.
How do you think about using, you know, the quote power that comes with having a big platform?
It's pretty scary. It is this thing where it makes me really confident in that, like, it's nice. It's really reassuring to know that I have the ability to make a change in people, and that I can actually, help support in whatever way, where if I meet a business that is down on their luck, I could literally just flip it if I see a story involved. And I think the most kind of like excruciating part is that people approach me and then they're like, oh, I want to tell stories too, but I don't have any good stories. And then I'd sit and have coffee with them for like 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I just thought of like four like stories that you could tell. Because it is really simple. Because I remember I got a hate comment once, and it was like a video of me building these 8 by 8 foot shelves. And it took me like basically 2 weeks to do it. And someone was like, oh, like what kind of, why is this guy so popular? He literally just did a video where he built a shelf. And I'm like, exactly. Like, you know, it's just like, that's the whole thing. It's just, you could really kind of talk about anything. And I guess the power is that it's scary that how much of a change that I can do, but it's also interesting that anybody's technically capable of doing it if they just kind of like locked in a little bit more and talked and really considered what other people, how to communicate better. I guess that makes sense.
Can you talk about what community means to you? Like, how do you think about community in the work that you're doing?
It's tough because it's hard to talk about it without seeming ingenuine because it's such a community, third space kind of thing. And it also doesn't help that I'm a bit asocial as well. So I think the way that I put it for myself is that you find your ways to be helpful in the best way that you can. And for me, it's like, I'm not really the type to do event organizing or anything like that, but it's like, oh, I can make your t-shirts though, or I can do your flyers and I can do all these things because I'm very good at communicating complex things, whether events or something, in a concise way. That's literally like the first step to being a sign painter is learning communication. So that's the way. I think it's just finding out if community is less about running events and it's more about just kind of like being helpful, even if it's just like your neighbor or something like that.
What keeps you going?
It's a lot about remembering my why in things. There's something that I recently learned from my therapist. It's just kind of like, whether it's working out, it's like thinking about like, you know, I care about my bone density, even when things are burnt out. Yeah, there's no way to not be too excited. Like, there's no way to not kind of like fall out of love of the things that you used to love. And so you just have to remember your why, which is, for me, I've fallen out of love about content a lot of times that I just remember. It's like, oh, I started making videos because I wanted to make friends. And that was like, you know, that's what I kind of remember. It's like, okay, don't worry about the views. Don't worry about anything. Like, what's like the fun thing that I want to talk about right now?
Right. You've said that you want people to double down on their niche trades. And, you know, just thinking about like people who may want to start doing more analog stuff themselves, their own way of resistance. What is like the first step you would recommend for someone wanting to get started?
One could be having an accountability buddy. Another one is just learning to take your time. I think a lot of the enjoyment comes from like not having the pressure of making it be a job. Everybody here is on different parts of like finances and their jobs and stuff, but it's you know, finding a way to make a living that gives you time the best that you can. And then the second thing is just like not trying to make whatever hobby and monetize it, essentially. Because for me, I have been practicing on oil painting, and I also been practicing dance again for the past like 3 months, and I haven't made a single video about it because it's just kind of like, it's my time, you know, and I don't want to turn what, you know, I already have one aspect of myself that's artistic, that's a job. I don't want to have to convert everything into that because it'll just ruin the experience of time, which is the part that makes me so frustrated the most is it seems like, yeah, yeah.
Love that. Well, Koi, thank you so much. That was artist Koi Sun talking to me on stage in the KPBS studio. For Koi, community, resistance, protest, and art are intertwined in nearly every creative decision he makes. His work is a testament to the power of doing things by hand with intention. It might be slower, it might be imperfect, it might even cost more than something mass-produced. But Koi believes those choices have value and that there's still hope that people will find a way to honor the beauty and art of resisting. Special thanks to Koi Sun, our incredible studio audience, and the entire team at KPBS who made this event possible. Keep an eye out for the video version of this conversation on our YouTube channel. You'll find all the interviews from KPBS Podcasts Live, The Art of Protest, on our website at kpbs.org. The Finest is a production of KPBS Public Media in San Diego. I'm your host, Julia Dixon Evans. This episode was written by me and Anthony Wallace, who also composed our theme music. Ben Redlosk produced and engineered this episode, and our editor is Chrissy Nguyen.
Before a producer hits record or before a journalist picks up a pen, someone like you notices something and wants to understand it. Every day, we invite you to keep asking questions like why and who and how. Because NPR begins with questions, not conclusions. And your right to curiosity is a right worth protecting.